Welcome back to the New Rockstars Debrief. We loved all the feedback we got on the new name, and a couple of you even spotted the Easter egg. Here's what it was. The first letters of the words in the name New Rockstars Debrief are N-R-D. Nerd, right? Nerd.
Yeah, that was it.
Just kind of let the E slip in there.
If you thought it was the lightning bolt in our logo that's been there for about 3 years,
yeah.
Thanks for catching up, though.
The lightning bolt was very insulted.
Yeah.
She's been doing her best to stand out and sparkle.
But what are we learning about today?
Well, today we're talking about this new Black Widow movie news and this whole idea of R ratings in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. How will that change the Marvel world as we know it? We also got some big news about the Batman movie that always in production, never a hero movie that will come eventually, and some news about whether or not R2-D2 has a girlfriend.
Bots want to know.
I mean, R2-D2 is a bit of a flirt. I don't see that one settling down. I'm Eric Voss. Joining me today is Philip Molina.
Hi, this is me, Philip Molina.
That's Philip, and I'm Eric.
You guys know that, right?
You know us.
Okay, great. So you want to know what I've heard?
Yeah, well, this is, in case you haven't heard, this is a podcast,
yeah,
right?
Speaking of heard, right? Yeah, you can hear this now without having to look at us. It's because it's available as a podcast now. You guys have been demanding that for a long time, and we took it personally because we thought it was about our appearance. But then we caved, and you can find our audio version now on the Himalaya app, or also where you get Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. There's like a million services, Stitches, Creeper, all of them. But
if you're homeless listening to someone else in their car.
But if you got it from the Himalaya app, it actually literally supports our own podcast, so we really appreciate it if you got it there. It's got a kind of like YouTube style thing they're doing there. It's a little bit more like a podcast with a community built into it. You can subscribe, leave comments for us on there, and then we actually can review them and address them in the next episode. It feels like home there.
Oh, that's good.
Again, it literally supports us, which is why I feel really good at Bato and you.
That's why it feels like home.
Yeah, exactly.
Homes are supportive. Yeah.
But okay, actually, Eric, what have you heard in terms of this R rating stuff on McGuff?
Okay, well, this is what is going on. The director of Marvel's standalone Black Widow movie, Kate Shortland, she directed film festival darlings like The Berlin Syndrome, and the writer is Jack Schaefer, and she wrote and directed and produced the movie Timer. Now, here's the deal about this. Neither of these are like big budget, crazy special effects movies, but Black Widow doesn't actually really have any magical or superhuman abilities. She's like a spy. She's deadly with hand-to-hand combat. But also, what's crazy, both these movies are rated R. And we're hearing that the MCU's Black Widow movie might also be rated R. That's the word on the street, according to gossip blogs. But people have been right about things before, so we kind of trust these sources. So what do we think this means? Why do we think this movie, this Black Widow movie, might benefit from an R rating?
Well, first off, I want to acknowledge it probably is just the first of a number of R-rated Marvel movies to come. I know we want to get into that too, but specifically Black Widow. Yeah, imagine Black Widow not as an R-rated movie. That's boring as hell. It's a spy movie, and we've seen spy movies that can be fun and not be R-rated. But once it's like a serious one where people die and you know, assassinations are happening. It's like if you cut away from the assassination or something. Also, I mean, not because it's Black Widow, but because it's part of the spy genre, sex is usually a big part of them. You know, again, it's just like everything would feel, I think, like neutered when the spy genre is such an adult one. I mean, obviously Ian Fleming set it up that way to be kind of like a man's fantasy of what he could be like. But that kind of stuck with it and how the genre works.
Yeah, I think with an R rating, this is a real opportunity to let us see what Black Widow can really do. You know, as a member of an ensemble and as a member of the Avengers, she's just someone on the ground level who, like, gets in a good punch every now and then and has, like, strong relationships with the other characters. We can't really see the extent of her abilities. And as a former KGB operative, she's deadly. She's really one of these people who wears the black hat and the white hat. And that's something that the movies have addressed with, like, Black Widow dealing with her past and dealing with that guilt. She's had blood on her hands. I got red on my ledger, you know, is what she says. But we've never actually seen her be able to do that. So with an R rating, you can really explore the levels of violence and the levels of intensity and adult themes. If you look at a show like The Americans on FX.
I was thinking about The Americans, too.
Yeah, it's an incredibly violent show. Yeah. Like, you can't, that's not like a PG-13 or 14 ages or older show to watch. It's really like an R rating. I would say hard R with everything. nudity and violence.
Yeah, I mean, they should have a number of headshots in that. Now, I want to paint a picture of like what movie we're talking about here, because I think it's very easy for us to say like, oh, it should be R-rated. Like, people say that all the time about every movie. But I want you to remember what it was like to watch The Bourne Identity and The Bourne Supremacy and a lot of those first Bourne movies. The idea of assassins going after each other. There's a story with Black Widow where when the USSR is breaking up, the government decides to eliminate its assassins and they're going to take her out. Mm. And so it's other assassins are hunting her. One, I think that that's a good story for this movie because it has her breaking away from the villainous USSR, as it's usually established. It'd be weird if like she's like trying to take down America for the whole movie.
Right, yeah. But
if
hard to root for her.
Yeah, exactly. But if she's like a bot, a Russian bot. So. But if she's being hunted by her own government, then you're going to have that thing where the reason I reference Bourne is because Bourne is being hunted by the other people that are like him. And those fights are like insane. Like the blood that is pouring out of these two people by the end is pretty realistic to if you have two amazingly trained assassins trying to take each other out, they're going to cause some damage. So I want you to compare that to maybe Alias, where Alias was, I thought, a very fun TV show, very great action in it, but it almost had this air of like there's this protective bubble around Jennifer Garner where like she would like take some hits or whatever and then like have a bruise on her forehead. Mm-hmm. I think like there was an implication that they pulled out her teeth once, but like she like spit out like a little bit of red or whatever, but you don't actually like feel that she's ever actually in danger. And I think we want to see that like we do in the Bourne movies where we feel those face punches.
Yeah. And I think it all comes back to making Black Widow the most active version of the character that she can really be and letting her spread her wings in a movie. And her backstory is very dark. Philip was going into it. There's also some elements of her backstory where she was forced to be sterilized so that she couldn't have a family or couldn't have kids.
Which they've alluded to before, but I wouldn't be surprised if they...
Yeah, she must have some real major demons and some major trauma from that they could really explore in this kind of movie.
Yeah, I also think that like we were kind of teasing before a little bit, like this is really just an entry point for Marvel into the R-rated genre. So that's something I really want to discuss here for a second and pick your brain about too, is what does it mean if we've essentially like broken the seal on R-rated movies, specifically in the MCU. Obviously we've had R-rated Marvel properties with Deadpool and with Logan. But to me, Logan's just that perfect example, right? When we saw that R-rated Logan, we were like, right, Wolverine, not, the candy version of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Is that a phrase people say? The candy version of
candy
something?
Yeah.
I don't want to use that word because this is rated G on the show. But it when Logan came out, we were like, yeah, Wolverine is, his powers are to like, aside from generating healing, are to like destroy someone's flesh.
Right.
If they ever show that, it's got to, remember they couldn't, before they couldn't show the blood of an exit wound of Wolverine. Wolverine would like slice through you and come out and you were like, inside you were all water.
Yeah, it was like that, or that movie, what was it, House of Glass?
The one where Ghost Ship does the same thing.
Ghost Ship does the same thing.
Yeah.
Where they slice through you and there's like a second where you're still alive and then your body slides off like sliced meat.
Yeah, and it's delicious. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, Ghost Ship, it's an errant wire.
It's just one of those Final Destination wires found its way into another cinematic universe.
Yeah, they gotta get less wires in film.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. With Logan was such a great script to read because, James Mangold wrote this whole thing at the beginning, like the fights are going to be like real fights. And if you've ever like gone to a boxing match or like been in a room where there's a fight happening, like to hear the sound of a punch hitting flesh is like disgusting. Right. Like it's like wet. You can hear like muscle getting bruised. Like it's not a good sound to hear like a fist land on flesh. It's disgusting. So it was great in Logan to see that kind of whole sound design, all that violence.
That's a great example. You guys should look up, you can find that script pretty easily, Logan script, and that opening that Eric's talking about, it not only talks about how the violence is going to be real, I think I remember there being a part there that said like, this isn't going to be a superhero movie with like these huge CGI sequences.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that if you applied that paragraph directly to Black Widow specifically, it makes perfect sense. Where it's like, what, she's going to be caught in like a Doctor Strange dimension or something? Like, that's not, that wouldn't fit her. So they do have to find it somewhere else. And just like Logan found it, it's kind of in the direct violence.
The reason I'm excited about this idea, you're mentioning the way R-rated movies could affect all the Marvel world. Disney's brand is family friendly, of course, but they have Touchstone Pictures. They have these adult sub brands underneath the studio.
Disney Nights,
or Marvel Max was an idea that they
Disney
After Dark was that's the one we want to see, but they have a total license to release. It could still be like a Marvel property, but it's released through Touchstone Pictures, so people don't see that Disney Cinderella's castle with Tinkerbell people murdering each other. So they have a way that they can do this from a business sense. Also, Disney's acquiring Fox. There's no reason why they have to break up the Fox studio. It can just still be the Fox brand, and they can release movies under the Fox name. It's just they get all the money, and it's a valuable brand, Fox is. It'd be crazy for them to break it up. But what's great is this models what comics have already done. Comics started something that was kid-friendly, family-friendly, and then as comic readers started to get older and they wanted more sophisticated stories, you started to have some darker stories like Watchmen come out in the 80s, and Batman started murdering people in certain comics. Like, you had What If comics where things got really dark. You had, like, Venom and Carnage. Things got incredibly violent.
And there's cannibalism in those. Yeah, in fact, another storyline that's just popping up in my head. So the X-Men universe being absorbed, you know, which, by the way, I think in 1 year we're going to be having this conversation about the new casting of Wolverine or whatever. Like, it is right around the corner. It has a lot of violence in it. It has, you know, sexual violence. It has cannibalism. The House of M storyline could be great for if you wanted to bring in a Scarlet Witch. But, like, a lot of people die, you know? Yeah. Like, it'd be interesting to do it in a way that wasn't as tidy as everyone getting turned into dust.
Right. And all we want to see is, like, more diversity in different kinds of stories. And this is the way you can do it. It doesn't mean the end of family-friendly Avengers team-up movies or the end of, like, Spider-Man movies. And the way that comics right now have a ton of different kinds of stories. If you're a kid, there's stuff for you. If you're an adult who wants, like, more, like, literature-type stories with more adult themes, there's a place for that as well. I, like, with things like Infinity War, like, that was the first big movie comic crossover event that felt like what Marvel Comics were trying to do. All your characters in a movie together. And the fact that it worked, I think, is a good sign that what people like about comics can also be what people like about these kind of movies, too. And that includes, like, having some serious adult comic book adaptations. I mean, Watchmen did come out, but I think it was a bit ahead of its time. It had some weird adaptation issues. But now maybe, like, the Watchmen series on HBO has, like, a chance because people are more willing to digest these kind of stories with superheroes.
Yeah, or if they're not, now it'll exist in a gradient where, like, fine, you have your kind of movie, you know, New Mutants maybe would get to be, like, a hard R, I don't think it is, but a horror movie. Uh-huh. Like, everyone has there's a home for every genre inside of Marvel. Instead of, I know a lot of people when DCU EU came out and it was like, we're going hard, dark, fast. And it was the concept of they're only going to be that I think turned everybody off. But Marvel is kind of like Disney, right? Disney has a home for everything. I think Marvel does too.
Yeah. And Disney is going to need to build up all these brands because it's impossible to just be one, like, size fits all with your stories. Like, people say, oh, Disney's a family friendly brand, so they have to do certain things. It's like, no, they're a major corporation that wants to hit all four quadrants of people who watch movies. And they certainly don't want to make the same kind of movie every year.
And there's tons of overlap, I mean, ourselves included. But also, I remember the first MP3 my brother ever downloaded and showed me was Donald Duck getting a BJ. And he was like, look, you can download these kinds of things now. People can be interested in both, is my point.
Yeah. whatever your interests are, you don't have to worry about Tumblr not hosting it anymore. Disney will host it for you. but this is exciting. Let us know what you think about R-rated Marvel movies. Do you want to see them all in a separate different studio? So if you know if it's Touchstone or Fox, you know it can be R-rated. Or are you okay with all the movies just coming out as they are?
Yeah, and I'm really interested to know what you guys think. Leave it in the comments either on YouTube or on Himalaya of what story can be done now if you break the seal on R-rated movies in the MCU.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yep. We're going to move on to our weekly trivia question. As always, we're going to ask this question. We want to
hear the same question every week.
Question
we get it wrong every
week.
Time.
We'll figure it out eventually. Yeah. We have the 51st date syndrome where, you know, we just got get reset. Memento is another example of a movie. The
so is Apocalypse Now. The winner, also a movie.
Between the two of us, whoever gets a closer answer will get to do our goodbyes. And the loser is going to have to do some silly gesture that hopefully someone online will turn into an animated GIF.
We'll it's happened it maybe twice.
Yeah, maybe twice. Most of the time, it's like people who work here who have to turn into a gift. But hey, it'll catch on. So our question is, what is the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time?
Ooh,
that is an interesting question. I have some ideas. I saw a chart where apparently like most movies that have been made in any given year are R-rated. I always thought like PG-13 was like the bulk of the movies that are made. Most movies are like these art house movies that have like nudity or some kind of violence. And over the years that has declined or it's gone up and down. And they show the chart of like what the share is of R-rated movies.
I think we're both writing down our answers, by the way, if you want to write yours down on your arm at home. I think that the reason for that is that it's actually harder to keep things like... I don't know, to censor yourself in this very particular way that the MPAA defines for ratings, where it's like counting your F-bombs. Like, that's just the kind of thing that, like, your average writer for I'm thinking indie films probably are what puts you toward R rating.
Yeah, and speaking of indie, it was an indie film, right? It was Temple of Doom it was the first time where they created...
Is that what you think
was
indie
PG
films mean?
Indie film, right?
Yeah, there's a series of them.
There's always
indies.
This, like, Sundance. I'm like, why is Sundance all Indiana Jones movies? There's, Temple of Doom has, like, some very violent graphic scenes, and after that, I think the MPAA is like, we need to create a category of what a difference between PG and PG-13 is, because that was, like, rated PG. Jaws was rated PG. A lot of these like older violent movies where a lot of like
the
violent
shark
things.
Cusses constantly in that.
Yeah, you see full frontal shark nudity in that.
Yeah, Donna is like a censoring sound.
So I guess it's, if you think a lot of people are making movies, directors, writers, they're adults who like want to tell their kind of stories, and you gotta, it's harder to make a story that kids will enjoy that's safe for them. So that might be
boring.
Yeah, not interested. Well, Philip, what have you heard from this week? What's the news on your end?
Okay, so you know that I'm constantly digging up Batman news because it's my favorite thing to listen about or to read about. So I've got two actually kind of interesting things here. First up, exciting update is just the, like, it feels like we just get a lot of Joker news. We get nonstop Joker news, Joker movies, but we haven't gotten that much actual official details about the Batman movie, the Matt Reeves one, who Matt Reeves, like, coming off of just like hit after hit movie, and I've been so excited, and he's the one that we're not hearing anything about. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're finally hearing, first off, it's definitely happening. It's going to be released in 2021.
Okay.
So we'll each be 21 that year. That's great.
Yeah.
Just very exciting. We'll share a cocktail.
Yes.
And the movie itself, the movie itself has been described as, I feel like I've been pitching this for years, something that focuses on his detective skills.
World's greatest detective.
Yeah, he's a world's greatest detective. That means like better than Sherlock,
right?
And there's multiple Sherlock franchises, and yet we've never really gone down the detective path other than you see him sitting at a computer and he's like just hacking.
Yeah, he has a supercomputer who does all the sleuthing for him.
Yeah, the supercomputer is the world's greatest detective.
Yeah, or sometimes Alfred drops in the clue. It's like, you should have figured that out, Batman.
Yeah. So I love a movie set in a mystery, which some of the best Batman comic stories are mysteries. And so, you know, they'll probably, I wonder if they'll adapt Hush, maybe. There's a couple of interesting options of things we haven't seen yet in cinema with him. But we hadn't heard much about it, so I was worried it wasn't going to happen, but or something was going to go wrong, but it is going to happen.
Good, yes.
But we also learned that Ben Affleck, yes, officially not going to be in it. He even tweeted, like, you know, his best wishes about it. That's such a far distance. Look how far we've come on Ben Affleck.
He
was going to not only direct it, not only star in it, he was also writing the script.
Yeah, he wrote a draft, right?
Yeah, he did write a draft, right? I remember, I think he was saying, like, it was harder than he thought.
Yeah,
which he's the Academy Award for writing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I can't wrap my head around this guy. He's not from Boston. but now he's not even involved at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt Reeves himself is going to write and direct it. And then also reportedly they're looking for a younger version of Batman, which I think is fine. It was a little weird that they started at the, like, 45 plus year old Batman with DC.
Right,
was the Ben Affleck version.
Uh-huh.
Remember, like, you know, Dick Grayson was dead. They were just like, let's just jump way ahead. No one wants Batman movies.
Yeah.
But I also heard this rumor, and you guys have probably been hearing this too, that they're looking at unexpected casting for the role of Bruce Wayne / Batman.
Hmm.
So, like, for instance, in my head, I'm into the idea of, like, who played Bruce Banner originally?
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana, yeah.
Lou Ferrigno.
I could see Lou Ferrigno as Batman.
Yeah.
Eric Bana has a great look of, like, oh, he looks really rich but has really sad eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And that, to me, has always been a Bruce Wayne energy. Turns out a lot of rumors are like, nah, don't even, like, think of your normal people. Like, I heard Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, wasn't he brought up for Superman at some point?
Michael B. Jordan is brought up for Wonder Woman, everything. Like, he's he is kind of playing everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric, before we get to our other Batman news that I'm also excited about, who do you think should play Batman next? Who would be, I'll challenge you also, though, since they're saying it's going to be unexpected, the weirdest Batman?
Well, we have, like, a lot of, like, with things like Stranger Things and It and Shazam as well, like, we have a lot of, like, young actors. Like, we have this era of people who are, like, mid-teenage years, and they're really, really good. Like, when we were growing up, every kid movie, if you go back and
very
watch
recently.
It, post-millennials. It's sometimes you watch kids, and it's always hard for me to watch child actors because they just don't have the skill set yet. It's rare, and if they are really good at it, then they're a bit creepy sometimes.
Mom,
like, they're too good.
Dad, are you dead?
Why are we gonna go outside today? Am I Superman now? But these kids now are freaking great.
Yeah.
Like, the Game of Thrones actors have been really good. I mean, no disses.
Are you setting up Millie Bobby Brown as
Millie Bobby
Batman?
As Batman. I mean, any of those kids in Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard, Gatton Matarazzo is really good.
Would be adorable.
The kid in Shazam, either of those were. Is it Ryder Strong and Jack Dylan Glazer? He's in It. He's in it. He's in it. So there are some younger actors. They might be a little too young. Like, some people brought up.
You mean to play Grizzled Batman?
Grizzled Batman or any detective at all? Brown Batman.
Yeah.
Well, who is the guy who didn't get cast as Solo that we thought would be good as Solo? Who's in The Fault in Our Stars? Ansel Elgort.
Ansel Elgort.
He could be pretty. I like that guy. I think he's pretty good.
You're going year one on this.
Yeah. Maybe. But if I, that's some kind of weird option. I don't know. There's. Let's see. What about Michael Cera?
Michael Cera hasn't been in anything in 10 years because he's been bulking up for Batman.
We're going to see him, but not going to recognize him. What does a bulky Michael Cera look like? Michael Rapaport?
Ben Nye? Oh, yeah. Who's Ben Nye? Just some guy.
Bill Nye?
Yeah, I was thinking Bill Nye. Ben Nye's just some dude.
Ben Nye's the history guy.
We got Rebel Wilson. We got Lindsay Lohan.
Those are some wild card choices. Or they could go really super old. Wasn't that the last time we had this discussion? We're like, wow, let's just go real old.
Clint
like
Eastwood
Dumbledore old.
Is exactly
Ian McKellen old.
Who Clint Eastwood is who I always imagined actually was playing. Ooh, this actually segues. Very nicely into my other Batman story. I always imagined that if they did a Batman Beyond movie, that Clint Eastwood would play the older Batman. And now he's 165 years old and he could still do it, I think. but side note, DC is apparently developing an animated Batman Beyond movie. They've done one before, but it was a very, very long time ago. Yeah. It was back when Batman Beyond was
Return of the Joker. Like, was that? Yeah,
exactly. But also it had some like there was also another one too. And like they, what's so great about the Batman Beyond stories is that they. It's almost like a where are they now? They love to like play with like what happens to Barbara Gordon, you know, what happens to, you know, the family unit of the Batman family.
Yeah, what happened to the Robins, Tim Drake and Dick Grayson.
It's always just so interesting to see. And also it has a little bit of that feeling of, you know, Eric and I, we're both very obsessed with The Simpsons, and there's that play out there that is based on if only one episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, the Cape Fear episode.
The Cape Fear episode of The Simpsons. If that was the only thing that was left behind of modern media and pop culture, how it would affect the future. If that was a city that is completely founded on just the ideas of that.
Right, yeah.
So Batman Beyond is set far enough in the future where it like looks at like, okay, what if like the Joker was this like figure that actually did all these things? He almost would become like a religion.
The cult
like
leader.
Disciples like that would follow and stuff. So it just has these like really interesting impacts. So I'm really excited to see another movie from it. Obviously, this is in direct response to Into the Spider-Verse, because they are talking about potentially doing this as a wider release, not just the ones that I download every week on my Apple TV.
Yeah, well, they come out like 3 or 4 times a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they hit it with that level of like intensity of like, we're going to release a really good Batman Beyond movie.
I loved Batman Beyond. Yeah. It's not as good as Batman the Animated Series, like the classic closest thing. Yeah. And it has the same kind of aesthetic. It has its own like gothic aesthetic, and it feels very specific. The art design of the show is really great. And the world building on that show is fantastic. And it did feel like, in a really good way, like a derivative, but set in the same world that Simpsons thing is. And I would love to, I'm super excited about this, especially with a wide release. Like I hope that they do more of that, not just, you know, the ones that are proven to be successful, but
I think
ones
it
that
also,
they can put some really good talent behind and really
definitely
make it great.
I think it also has the benefit of, so Nightwing is a character that is very interesting, very charming. You know, former Robin goes off and does his own thing. But one of the biggest obstacles that character has is that he exists simultaneously with Batman in just a different town. And it's like, yeah, you're Batman's sidekick. You went off and started your own thing. You're the J.C. Chazet of this situation where there's always going to be Justin Batman Timberlake. Like, you can't outshine that guy. But with Terry, the character taking over the mantle of Batman way in the future, like, then we get to have a new character who is kind of similar to Dick Grayson, but has a disconnect of, like, it's not like other Bruce Wayne Batman is going to show up and save the day.
Right. I would love to be the J.C. Chazet of any situation.
You're the J.C. Chazet of new rock stars.
Hey, I'll take it.
You're the best dancer.
But there was,
as we saw last week.
Was that what Jay-Z was? He was the dancer of the group? I always thought he had the falsetto the best.
Jay-Z is a very different person.
He's a jack
of all
trades.
Do you think Beyonce's married to J.C. Chazet?
Let's move on.
Okay, let's do it. What have you heard about the DC universe you were telling me earlier?
Yeah, there's this is like a great week for like DC news, knowing that the Batman is coming. But also, we now have official word that James Gunn is writing and directing Suicide Squad 2, which
now,
we suspected.
What's he been up to? Because I feel like he's had a whole other franchise.
He did have a whole other franchise. About like misfit criminals banding together to join their rivalry
into
it.
That was something
it's
else?
Not this.
Oh,
it's
weird.
A different universe and a supposedly family-friendly company that's about to do R-rated movies. But whatever. Okay, so yeah, we suspected since he was going to be writing this that he's going to also be directing it, because that's how he works. Like with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, that was it. Those movies.
Oh, right.
He wrote and directed them. He picked the soundtracks for them. He's like an auteur. It's like his project. It was called a James Gunn film, which to get that credit,
a joint.
It means you have to have control over a lot of aspects, not just in the writing and directing, but over the whole project. But we're hearing that the movie, and this is interesting, will be more of a reboot than a sequel. So they're going to feature mostly all new cast and characters and actors. So it's not going to be like new actors playing Deadshot and Captain Boomerang and Killer Croc. They're going to feature new characters from the DC world, and he's just going to start with a blank slate.
Yeah, I love that idea.
I think it's the best way to go.
I'm not going to fight you at all on that.
Yeah, there are some elements of Suicide Squad, the first movie that I liked. Harley Quinn was great. I think Captain Boomerang had some good lines. There were some good jokes in there, but there's just a lot. It was a big mess, and I kind of want James Gunn. I can imagine him taking elements from it. It's a mostly all new cast.
Yeah,
characters.
Sure, they'll bring some characters back. But one of the best reasons, I don't mind the character and I don't mind the actor, but Will Smith as Deadshot in that movie, from what I gather, it was one of the reasons why the movie felt like it was Frankenstein together from a bunch of different things. It's when you have stars of that magnitude. I mean, it's like casting Tom Cruise, right?
Right.
He now has to be a huge part of the production and the creative. And I mean, that's not going to work with James Gunn.
Yeah. He, like everyone in the Guardians cast, totally trusted James Gunn's vision for the project. And if you compare like what he did with the characters compared to the comics, there's like a 2014 or no, it was like 2011 is when the Guardians comics like re-released. The original like 70s Guardians comics were all over the place and they weren't particularly popular. So he was able to take things that he could really like redefine and didn't really have to stay sacred to certain things. So I think he's a guy who's always better off taking things from the ground up and starting with his own vision of things and kind of almost pretending like the first movie didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I compare him to Phil Lord and Chris Miller because they also have this thing where it's like, we're going to reinvent your universe for you. But we're going to do it our own way. And then we saw how, like, when they tried to do it, something that they had, there was competing opinions with Solo.
Oh, yeah.
They got kicked out, right? So same thing with him, where I think it's kind of like DC is obviously kind of in a place where they're like, have at it.
Right.
do what you want. And I think that's perfect for him. I actually think this movie's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. And which characters do you think will be coming back, and which new characters do you think we could see?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the one thing the studio is pushing is for Harley Quinn to be the center of the piece.
She's a real breakout from the first one. For sure.
I think that we're going to struggle to see the Joker come back because there'll have been other Joker films. It's just weirder. He's honestly one of the weirder parts of that.
Yeah,
movie.
I don't think you need the Joker in a Suicide Squad movie. I think that was a misstep with the first one.
Yeah, we'll get Amanda Waller again.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the one thing that needs to stay. It's a rotating group of criminals, but Amanda Waller is always the one putting together. Usually Deadshot's there, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm hoping that they let him off.
Yeah.
Retire.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think about this in the comments below. But
who should be in the new Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Who should the new Suicide Squad lineup be? And Philip, what's some other news that you heard this week? There's some other stuff that came out,
right? Just catching us up, I guess, the screenwriter of Doctor Strange, is it C. Robert Cargo?
Yeah.
He's coming back, which is fantastic because I think that he actually... It like nailed that weird tone of like that Doctor Strange energy.
He and Scott Derrickson have a real good partnership.
So he's coming back to do the sequel, Doctor Strange, Even Stranger.
Yeah, Doctor Stranger.
Yeah, the sequel. There you go, Doctor Stranger. Jon Favreau also posted a behind the scenes picture from The Mandalorian, and this is what we were alluding to earlier. It kind of looks like R2-D2 might have a girlfriend because this droid has little accents of pink.
Yeah, another astromech squeeze.
It feels like they went out of their way to make it seem like, you know, it's not very 2019, but this is a whole different, this is long, long ago. So maybe pink means like feminine or whatever. I don't know that it means that now. But it feels like they're purposely saying, this is a girl droid. This is a girl. I think BB-8 is also a girl, but most people don't know that.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's canon. But over here, it did remind me of that, the actual R2-D2 similar droid that was pink. That was in Force Awakens.
Oh, right, yeah.
But that was more of a, for a fan.
Yeah,
I think.
It was
like a Make-A-Wish.
A terminally ill fan who, it was like a special, beautiful,
but this
sweet
seems like
story.
It might just be like a sweet girlfriend or a long lost sister or just a platonic friend, which is also fine.
Or a gender neutral boy one who doesn't let colors define, maybe.
Or maybe his boss.
Right.
Because women make great leaders too.
Yep.
Listen to these two cucks. All right. what else we got? Speaking of powerful women, Birds of Prey gave us some more pictures. And, well, they're just like sneaky set photos or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But you can actually see, if you were looking at this picture, it's a moment where Harley Quinn looks dressed like when Elvis had his like cowboy style, which
oh,
like,
his
show
Vegas
energy.
Elvis, yeah,
his Vegas style. So she's got that look, and she's inside of a place of exotic animals, which, I mean, they're like Starbucks, these stores are on every street. Murray's Exotic Animals, I think it's
Murray.
Yeah.
Grab that boa constrictor.
What Bill Murray's doing all the time. But what is exciting about that is that it could mean that we are going to meet her hyenas.
Oh.
Her little pair of hyenas, Bud and Lou, which in my head, I'm imagining are just going to be Whoopi Goldberg voice. Right?
And Cheech Marin.
Like, yeah, exactly. What I'm scared they're going to do is it's going to have like, I don't know, like a Bebop and Rocksteady energy. But I think if they just make them like some vicious hyenas and just leave it at that, that'll be a fun reference.
CGI the hyenas, or do we use puppeteers or live animals?
Oh, no. CGI hyenas can't put our working actor hyenas like out of work.
I mean, would that lead to cruelty toward hyenas? Because they're so annoying. They're just, they're gonna, bad things are gonna happen to those hyenas.
You just don't like people laughing at you.
Yeah. I prefer it. I prefer it. So.
Speaking of, you have a comedy show tonight, but we'll,
what? Oh, God.
This is one of your nightmares.
Yeah. Who is this monster behind her in the back? If you're listening to the podcast, there's like a figure with like two glowing golden eyes.
That's the hair and makeup person.
And why do they have terrifying eyes? Like when you shine a light into the woods and you see raccoons looking back at you, that's what we're seeing here.
That means you have a soul.
Oh, yeah, oh, good.
Whenever you see a
I was worried. Yeah. I was worried. Well, now comes the time to move on to our New Rockstars News lightning round. You know how this works. You guys tweet us questions. I'm going to fire them at Philip and at myself, and we have to answer as quickly without hesitation as possible. Are we ready?
My heartbeat is racing.
All right, here we go. For me, at Blackstang 1302 wants to know, will James Rhodes be at the airplane base in Captain Marvel as Carol Danvers' love interest like in the comics? Does the timeline work out? James Rhodey would be pretty young, unless you're talking about in the modern times.
No, I think it does work out. I mean, if we go with the Don Cheadle version, he's like 50, right? Now.
But in the 90s, and if she was, we don't know when
three.
She was missing too.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I don't know if he would have been old enough, unless you talk about they start dating and she doesn't really age now. That
Lightning.
She Lightning. I'm going to say no, I don't think so. Philip, at Nutslot Meerkat.
Oh, Nutslot.
So Nutslot. Wants to know, how would you get someone who knows nothing about Batman hooked?
Ooh, who knows nothing about Batman? This is a person who doesn't know language or how to feed themselves. This is a person you found in the woods. Like,
yes,
take
you
them
found
to
a feral
hospital.
Person, and the only thing you want to tell them about is Batman.
Yeah, and then just give them Batman Year One. Honestly, like, even Dark Knight Returns, like, even though it starts, like so much later in the career. Yeah. But honestly, like, just one of the good, solid graphic novels will do it. Or, no, wait. They're learning English. Have them learn English. So I learned English from Sesame Street. Have them learn English from the animated series.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's a good answer. At Aaron Lee with a bunch of numbers wants to know, if Doctor Strange keeps a list of all beings in the universe that may be a threat to Earth, why do you think he didn't know about Thanos when Hulk crashed landed in Infinity War? I don't know if his list is complete. I know he's keeping, like, we're talking about in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, his collection's complete.
Yeah, he had a list of things, and that's why he didn't want Loki on the planet. I mean, it doesn't mean that he knows all, right? He's not omniscient.
But also, plot hole. Right,
because
Thanos is hugely famous in the, gosh, I don't know.
And I'll say that, like, Strange seemed to have a bit of knowledge about who Thanos and the Infinity Stones and what the Infinity Stones were, who they were, when Banner got there, because he was kind of tag teaming with Banner to Stark that whole debrief on what Thanos is.
He knew
is.
That he had one.
Right. So, like, how else would he know about the Infinity Stones if he hasn't done some research?
Yeah, I guess he just didn't go, like, you're on my list.
Yeah, right. Philip, at Martin Pitt wants to know, which obscure Batman villain would you like to see in any of the new upcoming DC-related movies?
Ooh, obscure. We talked about Hush, but that's not very obscure. Zaz, maybe?
Zaz coming to Birds of Prey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He would be. That would be my guess or my answer too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Clayface hasn't really shown up live
Clayface
action.
Clayface has been my Gotham. pitch for so many things, but it feels like maybe they just can't get the CGI right or something.
Right,
Lightning.
Yeah. Lightning. Yeah. For me, at Obi-Wan Baloney wants to know what is Batman's favorite show to binge watch on Netflix? I don't work for Netflix. What's Batman's favorite show? Maybe Punisher? He might be the one thing he kind of relates to his tortured soul, who's a vigilante.
Incorrect. It's Marie Kondo.
He's so organized.
Cleaning up the streets.
I thought because his Batcave is so organized.
And she's adorable.
She sparks joy for him. Yeah. Philip, Aaron Lee, coming back, wants to know if Doctor Strange keeps a... Oh, it's the same question. Yay!
Interesting.
Same question to you. How do you think? I think I answered it.
You answered it at the same time.
Thank you for firing all these questions at us. And continue to keep those questions coming. We always love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, and start dropping them also in the Himalaya app, and we'll try to get to them on there too.
Yes. Yeah. And now comes the time for a 15-second shout-out. Philip and I each have 15 seconds to shout-out, plug, or ramble about anything we want. Philip, do you got something?
I'm mostly just going to give it to you for your time.
Okay.
But I just check out My Favorite Murder, fun podcast. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. I think by the time you're listening to this, my show will have already gone. I'm doing a live monthly show every first Friday of the month. Philip will be the one we're about to do right after this. But just follow me on Twitter and you'll see for the next date. The one thing I want you to watch, I just tweeted this the day before yesterday. It's a BBC Science video about anthropologists who are studying the vocal cords of Neanderthals. And it's just this weird clip of a woman's like, oh, it was squatter. Well, I have Elliot here, and she brings in an actor and just to reproduce the sound of what a Neanderthal would sound like.
I remember, but give us a snippet.
Well, it's like a Neanderthal count or Neanderthal. Elliot, count to three. He goes 1, 2, 3. Now make it higher because they had a higher voice. Neanderthals is the theory. And he goes 1, 2, 3. And already I'm like, I'm in. I love what this.
And it just keeps going.
It keeps, and no one breaks. And by the end of it, he's going like in her face, and no one's laughing except me. I'm dying laughing. And then they do some crazy horror imagery at the end to transform him into a Neanderthal. It's amazing why this was presented as a fact thing when it's clearly a comedic one.
Great. That's your 15 seconds.
15
shout
seconds.
Out.
50 second shout out.
Yeah, I'm glad I deferred my
check
time
it out.
Too.
Oh, it was my favorite thing that I've seen in a month.
For that, Eric, what's our answer to our trivia question?
Yes, let's return to that. Okay, so here's a GIF of Shane. Steaks.
If you're listening on the podcast, the stakes of this are that we have to act out something silly, and you can follow us on social media at New Rockstars to find it at some point, and you'll see whether or not who won, I guess, and what embarrassing thing we had to do.
The question was, what is the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time? We both said the same thing.
Passion of the Christ,
which is a correct answer. It also says Deadpool would also be accepted if necessary. It's the highest grossing international film. Passion of the Christ, highest grossing domestic film. Yeah.
Say about our culture? That Passion of the Christ and Deadpool are the two
It says that one half of culture likes to ship people to movies and buses to show their support for things. And the other half will watch people getting shot in the face over and over again. But also had a great marketing.
Try to guess
campaign.
Which movie we're talking about. Which, because it's not as obvious as you'd think.
Yeah, Deadpool fans get shipped in buses.
Yeah, and guns.
Well, so what would you like to do? Should we both be punished as a result of this?
All right.
Should we do a GIF of Shame together?
Yep.
Each do a different one?
No, that won't make any sense to anyone.
Okay, so what Philip and I have to do, someone mispronounced Arya or Arya, want to correct them so bad it hurts.
Okay, so
that's how we should read the goodbyes.
Our producer who is sitting across from us is telling us that it's incorrect. The way we will do it is we will stand up and we will just try to correct someone while feeling the pain of not doing it. We want to, but we can't. All right, and we'll do that for a second, and then we'll give our goodbyes.
Yeah.
This is really great content for you on the podcast. So also check us out on YouTube too.
Just listen to the. You know, I.
Oh.
Area.
It's not. Sure, it's fine that you like
that
her.
Character,
that character.
How about Sansa? Length and width multiply it is the way you're saying that.
Yeah, that's area. Americans.
Americans.
Americans. Ameria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the gift of shame.
Yeah. What a time to be alive. Hey.
And now use that gif in any situation. I'm sure it'll make sense.
Oh, it makes our facial expressions spoke volumes.
There you go.
Thank you for watching for this week's episode of New Rockstars Debrief, or listening if you're listening to us over the podcast. And I want to thank Philip Molina and myself. You can find Philip on Twitter at Fimo. You can find me at EA Boss. And of course, subscribe to us at New Rockstars on Twitter. Follow us at Twitter and subscribe to this channel on YouTube and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, but preferably Himalaya because they help us in so many ways. Yeah, thank you for listening. Leave comments on the podcast. Leave comments on our channel. Talk to us. We love hearing from you.
Give me one more thing to do.
Have a great weekend, everyone. And see you next week.
Bye.